Shalom. You're about to hear a message given by Rabbi Lauren Jacobs of Congregation Shema Yisrael, located in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, USA. For more information, you can go to our website, shema.com, shema.com.
Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 12. We'll be covering the topics of being transferred to another kingdom, who Yeshua is, and the centrality of the Messiah. Besides being a great scholar, theologian, and one of the greatest evangelists and congregational starters of all times, Paul was a shaliach, an emissary, an apostle, a special representative of the Son of God. And Paul was a very unique apostle. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was a Jewish rabbi uniquely equipped and sent to reach and teach the non-Jewish peoples of the world. The divinely inspired rabbi from Tarsus wrote much of the New Testament and left a tremendous imprint on Christianity and Western civilization. And so we should pay attention to the writings of the Lord's representative that have been preserved for us, like the book of Colossians. Paul and Timothy wrote this letter from the city of Rome, the capital of the mighty Roman Empire. Paul was in confinement there, awaiting a trial that could have resulted in his execution. The Colossian community had received good teaching from Epaphras, but were being challenged by false teaching, like the situation in the church and the Messianic Jewish movement today. What was going on in Colossae was a mixture of Jewish legalism, Greek philosophy, and a false kind of mysticism. Charles Ryrie informs us that specifics include dietary laws, an emphasis on Sabbath observance, circumcision rites, the worship of angels, and the practice of asceticism, fasting and giving things up. Combating these errors, Paul and Timothy emphasize the cosmic significance of Messiah as the Lord of creation and as the head of the new covenant community. The theme of this letter is the supremacy and the sufficiency of Messiah. Any teaching, any practice, any intermediary that detracts from the uniqueness, the centrality of Messiah is against the faith. With that in review, let's pick up where we left off in verse 12. The Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When Adam and Eve fell and joined the rebellion of the fallen angels, they lost their privilege to govern this world. Dominion of this world was transferred to the fallen angels, and human beings became subject to the fallen angels. And the head of the fallen angels, the adversary Satan, became the god of this world, and we became subjects of that dark kingdom. Jews and Gentiles are born part of that dark, demonic kingdom. A kingdom that opposes God, opposes truth, is full of unhappiness, ruination, and death. We are controlled by that kingdom. Because of our fallen nature, we are qualified to be part of that dominion. We are fit citizens of that kingdom. But we don't have to remain in that dark kingdom. God has another kingdom, a very real kingdom, full of joy and happiness, unmixed with any sadness. It's a kingdom of truth and goodness and beauty. It's a just kingdom. It's a rich kingdom. It's a kingdom of rewards and great inheritances. It's a kingdom that will not pass away and whose citizens will live forever. And Messiah Yeshua is the king of that kingdom. And God the Father is the high king of that kingdom. And when we know who the Son of the High King is and become loyal to Yeshua and to his Father, we have redemption and the forgiveness of all of our sins, every last one of them. We are rescued from the dominion of darkness, and we are brought into the kingdom of the Father and the Son. Before we knew the Father and the Son and transferred our loyalties to the three-in-one God, we were not qualified. We were not able. We were not fit to live in that blessed kingdom that is characterized by light. Light is a symbol for knowledge, truth, wisdom, reality, victory, happiness, life. By forgiving all of our sins so that not one remains, by redeeming us, buying us back out of the satanic slave market of sin and death, by giving us the Holy Spirit who transforms us, by giving us a new and godly nature, we become qualified to live in the kingdom of light. Forgiven. Redeemed, qualified, transferred to another kingdom, a great kingdom of light, blessed with an amazing and eternal inheritance, with all the other set-apart ones of all the ages. My friends, it does not get any better than that. Remember, to combat the erroneous teachings challenging the Colossians, Paul and Timothy want them to understand who Yeshua is and focus on Yeshua and his sufficiency. So who is Yeshua? Well, he's an exemplary human being, right? Right. He's a great teacher, yes? Yes. He's a prophet, correct? Correct. He's the Messiah even. Definitely. He's the king of a very great and real and wonderful and eternal kingdom. Yes. He is all of that. But he's also much, much more. So Paul and Timothy continue. The Son is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For in him, in Yeshua, all things were created. Things in heaven, things on earth, things visible, things invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things. And in him all things hold together. Wow. The Son is the image of the invisible God. Yeshua is the Son of God. God the Father is the Father of his Son, Yeshua. The Son of God has a Father. The Son is not the Father. The Father is not the Son. They are distinct persons. Distinct persons, but they share the same nature. Both share the essential attributes of deity, eternal, uncreated life, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. The Father and the Son share the moral attributes of deity, moral perfection, infinite holiness, perfect righteousness, goodness, mercy, love. The Father and the Son are distinct persons but share the same nature. When it comes to position and authority, just as an earthly father is superior to his son in position and in authority in their family, so God the Father is superior to God the Son. The Father sits on the main throne of heaven. The Son sits at his right hand. The Father orders the Son, and the Son executes the orders of the Father. The Son never orders the Father to do anything. The Son prays to the Father. The Father never prays to the Son. Again, as I said last week, a simple way to understand what's going on with the Trinity. There is an equality of nature, a distinction of persons, a hierarchy of authority. An equality of nature, a distinction of persons, a hierarchy of authority. Even though the Father is greater than the Son in position and in authority, it's still an awesome thing to be the Son of God. That's why he's acknowledged by every created thing in the very center of heaven as being worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing and dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen? The three persons of the Trinity have different functions. One of the functions of the Son is to reveal the invisible God. The Son is the image of the invisible God. The third person of the Trinity, God the Spirit, is invisible. He's a person, but he's a person without a body. He is everywhere present throughout the universe and beyond. Like Ruach, wind, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, can be felt or experienced, but not seen. The first person of the Trinity, the Father, is likewise invisible to us. He is too great, too awesome, too powerful, too infinitely holy for weak, sinful mortals to see. Can an ant see 100 megaton atomic explosion from a few feet away? Can an ant see the Empire State Building, even if the ant is at the bottom of it and touching the Empire State Building? Can the ant see the Empire State Building? No. And the difference between the infinite and holy God and mortal, sinful human beings is even greater than the difference between an ant and an atomic bomb or an ant and a skyscraper. To see God the Father in the fullness of his holy magnificence is impossible for us. And if it was possible, it would destroy us. No human being can see the Father and live. He's too great, he's too glorious, he's too powerful. But the Father wants us to know him. In a sense, he wants us to see him. It's one of the functions of the Son of God to reveal the invisible God. John declared, "No one has ever seen God," meaning God the Father. "But the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, he, the Son, has made him, the Father, known." The Son is that person in the Trinity who is able to tone down the power and splendor and glory of God the Father and reveal the Father to fallen, frail mortals. The Son is the image of the invisible God. So when we see Yeshua doing something, we are also seeing God at work. We're learning something about God the Father. When we hear Yeshua teaching, we are hearing God speaking to us. We are learning exactly what God the Father wants us to know. When we see Yeshua doing miracles, we are seeing God the Father revealing something about himself, what he is like to us. When we see Yeshua suffering and dying, we are seeing something about the nature of the invisible God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, and he is a perfect image, a perfect likeness, a perfect representation of God the Father. You want to understand what God the Father is like? Look at the Messiah. You want to understand the nature of God? You want to understand the will of God, what God wants? You need to consider Yeshua and listen to Yeshua. He spoke perfectly on behalf of his Father, communicating exactly what his Father wanted him to say to humanity. So when we see Yeshua, when we understand the actions and the teachings of Messiah, when we comprehend his miracles and his incarnation and his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, we are seeing the image, the likeness of the invisible God. We are seeing someone filled with the Spirit who is invisible. The invisible God is being revealed to us. Who is Yeshua? He is the image of the invisible God. Who is Yeshua? The Son is the firstborn over all creation. This does not mean that Yeshua is a created being or that he had a beginning, that he was born. The emphasis is not on born. The emphasis is on first. The Son never had a beginning. He is eternal. He is uncreated. The way to understand this is through biblical law. According to Torah, the firstborn is the eldest son and has a special place in the family and special privileges in the family. He becomes the head of the family and a special heir among the other brothers and sisters in the family. Yeshua, as the firstborn over all creation, means that Yeshua is older than anything in creation. As the firstborn of all creation, Yeshua is preeminent over all created things, including men and women and angels. As the firstborn of all creation, Yeshua is the eldest brother among the sons and daughters of God, you and I, who are created beings. As the firstborn of all creation, Messiah is in the place of prominence and is the leader of the sons and daughters of God. He is the special heir among the other sons and daughters of God. He is the firstborn over all creation. Who is Yeshua? He is not a created being. In fact, he is the creator of all things. For in him, Paul and Timothy write, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. The Son of God preceded the creation of the universe and participated in the creation of the universe. God the Father willed the creation of all things, and then the Son of God carried out the Father's will. The Son is the one who made the laws of nature and the fine-tuned parameters that enable our universe to exist. Things like constants in equations for gravity, electromagnetism, strong and weak nuclear forces, the ratio of proton to electron mass. The Messiah made the billions of galaxies with their trillions upon trillions of stars. The Messiah made this huge and magnificent planet and everything in it. He made all things visible, this entire universe and everything in it. The Son also created another mostly invisible part of reality. Beings that are real, but generally unseen by human eyes. I'm talking about the armies of angels and archangels in their 10,000s of 10,000s. The Messiah created the mysterious living beings, the cherubim who protect the presence of God. The Son made the six-wing burning seraphim. The Son made the guardian angels, the angel of the waters, other angels. All things have been created through Messiah, visible or invisible, and for Messiah. Everything that exists, every plant, every creature, every stone, every star, every human, every angel, exists for a purpose. And that purpose is for Messiah. To serve Messiah, to accomplish Messiah's purposes, to give Messiah pleasure, to accomplish Messiah's will. If all things have been created by Yeshua and for Yeshua, including you, does it make sense to reject him? To remain indifferent to him, to be uninterested in him? Doesn't it make sense to find out who he is? Get in sync with him, what he wants, serve him with all your strength? Who is Yeshua? He is the eternal one. He is before all things. Eternal, uncreated, without beginning. He was in the beginning with God, and he was with his Father before the beginning. He is the eldest one, the eternal one, worthy of honor and respect by all creatures who come after him. Who is Yeshua? He is the sustainer of all things. In him, all things hold together. Right now, at this very moment, the Son of God is holding together, sustaining this vast universe. Everything that exists, including you. That takes wisdom. That takes power. That takes authority. That is worthy of respect. That is worthy of honor. Does it make any sense to deny the one who is sustaining you? To ignore the one who is sustaining you? To be ungrateful, unappreciative, uninterested in this great one who keeps you in existence? Who is Yeshua? He is the leader of all Christians and Messianic Jews everywhere. He's the head of the body, the church, but I like translating it, the community of the called out ones. Christians and Messianic Jews are joined to the Messiah. He is our head. We're his body. We're joined to him. We're connected to him. We are united to the resurrected one. We draw our life and strength from this living leader. From him we get our directions, our instructions, our wisdom and righteousness, our power. We can talk to him. We can hear him speaking to us, teaching us, guiding us, leading us. Who is Yeshua? He is the head of the body, the community of the called out ones. Who is Yeshua? He is the one who overcame death. Paul and Timothy write, he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. So that in everything, Messiah might have the supremacy. Death is a result of the fall and our alienation from God, who's the source of life. Death is a horrible enemy. Death claimed all the millions of people who ever lived until Messiah came, with the possible exception of a few. But Messiah alone truly overcame this deadly enemy, death. And the Son of God enables those of us who know who he is and transfer our loyalties to him to overcome death. As the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, Yeshua is supreme. He's to be supremely honored, respected, loved, and obeyed. Why wouldn't you give that kind of love and devotion to the one who enables you to overcome death? Who is Yeshua? He is the one in whom the fullness of God lives. For God, the Father, was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, the Son. The Son doesn't have just a little part of God. The Son has all the fullness of God the Father living in him. Yeshua is not like one of the Greek and Roman gods, these little godlings. The Son is fully God, completely God. He has the totality, the completeness, the fullness of the infinite, all-powerful, all-present, all-wise God living in him. Just as the temple had the Spirit of God living in it and was treated with the highest respect and was given great honors, so the one in whom the fullness of God lives is to be greatly respected and highly honored. Who is Yeshua? He is the reconciler of all things. Through him, God will reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. When Adam and Eve fell, their sin affected not just Adam and Eve, not just their descendants. The catastrophe of Eden impacted the entire universe. The universe is broken, fractured, chaotic, damaged. The forces of entropy and decay are present everywhere throughout the universe. Humans are fallen, broken, damaged, dying, perishing. Why? Because we are alienated from our Creator. Because we are alienated from our Creator, we are alienated from one another, we are alienated from ourselves, we are alienated from nature. We are in the most desperate need of overcoming this alienation, but we are completely incapable of reconciling ourselves to God. We are unable to be fully reconciled to nature or to one another. But what we are unable to do, God the Father, working through His Son, was perfectly able to accomplish. By shedding His blood on the cross, the Son of God became the reconciler of all things. Because of the Messiah, human beings can be reconciled to the infinitely holy God and to one another. And a day is coming when nature will be completely restored. And a time is coming when shalom, shalom, perfect peace will permeate all relationships between God and human beings, angels, nature, all because of Yeshua and what He did on the cross, making Him the reconciler of all things. So who is Yeshua? He is the King of a very great and real and wonderful and eternal kingdom of light. He is the worthy Son of God. He is the image of the invisible God who perfectly reveals God to us. He is the firstborn over all creation, preeminent over all created things, and the special heir among all the sons and daughters of God. He is the creator of all things, and for whom all things have been created. He is the one who is before all things, worthy of honor and respect by all who came after Him. Who is Yeshua? He is the mighty sustainer of all things, holding together everything that exists. He is the living leader of all Christians and Messianic Jews everywhere, giving us life and strength and direction. He is the one who overcame death and enables those of us who know who He is and become loyal to Him to overcome death. Who is Yeshua? He is the one in whom the fullness of God lives, who is to be treated with the greatest reverence and respect. Who is Yeshua? He's the reconciler of all things, who will bring perfect peace to a broken universe and fix all relationships. So, why the fixation on angels? Talking to angels, praying to angels, worshiping these created beings who are mere servants of the Son of God. Why have any religious or philosophical emphasis that doesn't have Messiah at its center? That isn't focused on Messiah. That doesn't fix its spiritual eyes on Messiah, that doesn't filter everything through Messiah, that refuses to witness to our absolute need for Messiah. Why focus on Mary or the saints? Why give them any of your religious devotions and prayers? It doesn't make sense. Should Torah observance be our focus? Holidays, Sabbaths, circumcision, angels, fastings, dietary requirements. Other religious philosophies not focused on Yeshua. Anything other than on Yeshua. It doesn't make sense. It's not right. It doesn't work. Real Christianity, true Messianic Judaism, is all about Messiah. Knowing Messiah, becoming loyal to Messiah, remaining faithful to Messiah, reorienting our goals and values with those of Messiah, witnessing to Messiah, thinking about Messiah, learning about Messiah, serving Messiah, imitating Messiah, drawing life and strength from our living relationship to Messiah, having our hope in Messiah, being willing to suffer for Messiah, being willing to be rejected for Messiah, enduring with Messiah, having the grace, even if called upon, to die for Messiah. Real Christianity, real Judaism, is all about Messiah. May God the Father so work on us so that we can fix our thoughts, our service, our devotion, the entirety of our religious life on Messiah. Amen. Please stand.
Thank you for listening to a message by Rabbi Lauren Jacobs of Congregation Shema Yisrael, located in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, USA. For more information, you can go to our website, shema.com, shema.com.